It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So you didn't get the ultimate gadget you wanted for Christmas. Well, fear not, my friend. You still may have an opportunity to get your hands on a high-tech toy you didn't even know you needed or wanted, that you didn't even know existed. The International Consumer Electronics Show was just held in Las Vegas. Our pop culture contributor, Joe Woes, was one of the many people in attendance and joins us now in Studio A to fill us in on the next gadgets that could be changing our lives. Joe Woes, good to see you. Happy New Year. Welcome back to the show.
Happy New Year. Happy to be here.
So for folks who don't know, what is the Consumer Electronics Show?
So the Consumer Electronics Show is the largest convention really in the world dedicated to the latest and greatest in technology. It is a marketplace of ideas. It is people who are just innovating new things and hoping someone will invest in it. It's also the big companies like Samsung and LG showing off their new products coming in the next year, even 10 years out in some cases.
So tell us about some of the trends that you see, things that we should keep an eye out for in 2015.
Well, I think two of the big ones are wearables. You know, the wristwatch business has taken off, the smartwatch. It's connected to your phone in most cases. And, you know, you get text, you get emails, you get all your information sent directly to your wristwatch. And we're seeing the lead up to the iWatch, which is the Apple version of these smartwatches. So we're seeing that lead up. But in the meantime, you know, Android is the most popular operating system. So we're seeing a lot of these Android-based watches come out. And they really are much more useful than you think. You know, think how many times a day you're pulling out your phone and checking the text. You've got it right on your wrist. So it's really interesting what's happening there. And the other thing is 3D printing. We're getting closer and closer to that price point where we're going to see 3D printers in the homes. We're seeing them come down as low as $300 from the Da Vinci printer.
We were just talking about this last Friday.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that was one of the sections that had just exploded. There were so many different 3D printers out there. And we'll see which ones survive. But I do see that as something that's definitely going to be in the homes.
So were there any products at the show that really, I know you're into the watch thing, but were there any products at the show that really wowed you, things you hadn't seen before?
Yeah, there was actually quite a few. One of the things that really struck me was the Elio, E-L-I-O, the Elio. It's a car. It's a three-wheeled vehicle, and it's under the $7,000 price point. I think it's really just an amazing thing. And so many of these cars are integrating technology within them. You know, they all have, you know, they're pulling information from your phone. It's all integrated. Things we're now beginning to just take for granted. The other thing I'm seeing is this internet.
Wait, okay. So it's a three-wheeled car.
It is a three-wheeled car.
What does this car look like?
It is a small car. It's slightly triangular to it.
But it's like a regular size car.
It is a little smaller than a regular size car.
Is it smaller or bigger than a Mini Cooper?
It is about the same size as a Mini Cooper, but it gets about 85 miles to the gallon. So we're seeing technology in all sorts of innovations in vehicles as well as everything else. So there's so many cool things coming out. One of the things that's really big this year was the Internet of Things. The idea that everything should have access to the internet, from your television to your toothbrush. I'm not making that up.
Your toothbrush.
They had toothbrushes that connect to the internet, and it's part of this gamification that everything is an activity connected to a game. So it tracks, you know, your kid's usage of the toothbrush, and it's connected.
So in other words, you can say, did you brush your teeth today,
and
Johnny?
You can check.
And if Johnny doesn't tell the truth, you're going to know?
You're going to know. You're going to check your app.
Wow.
You're going to know how long he brushed his teeth.
How Orwellian. Is that a good thing, do you think?
You know, I think one of the things that you really see is with the amount of stuff happening in smart homes, with you know, our constant connection, I think we're going to have to face it. We have given up our privacy, and we've done so voluntarily. You know, we're constantly connected. And that's one of the themes you see, is that everything is connected, and that means everything is potentially out there. you know, all your interests, anything you're purchasing, anything you're doing, when you come home, when you leave, it's all out there.
Talking with Joe Woves, our culture contributor, who is just back from the International Consumer Electronics Show held in Las Vegas. When you look at the high-tech toys that have forever altered our lives over the last decade or two, what really is left to invent?
You know, I think the things I mentioned is where we're headed. I think it's not so much what is left to invent, but the idea –
what form of the idea
– what form of the idea, and also putting those inventions, the ability to create inventions, into the hands of the general public. I think that's one of the things 3D printers do. We're actually giving them more and more access to create on their own. Personalization is really sort of that next level of technology. How much control you have over the information coming in and out. We're going to see people being able to do more and more designing their own phones by just adding in the components they want to have. So we're going to see more and more of that sort of innovation of the individuals.
Anything close to or resembling a time machine out there?
I think that's the thing
we're waiting for.
This is the year Back to the Future 2. This is the year that they envision as the future. So,
And people have been tracking the predictions that were made in that movie, and they are remarkably close to being almost all right about what they predicted. The flying car, we still haven't quite come up with one of those yet.
Still haven't come up with, but we're getting closer and closer. And every time I go to CES, I keep waiting, though, for the Jetsons. That's what I want, is a robot made in my house.
Well, I think those are already out there, Joe.
You see the Roomba and other vacuum cleaners out there. And you know, that's the other thing. I was seeing a lot of robots. And it's really, really odd. There was one robot that was designed to look like a real human. And it had a crowd just constantly. And it was, frankly, the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
What did it look like?
It looked like one of the Disney animatronic characters. I wouldn't call it as lifelike, but it had an artificial intelligence to it so it could engage in conversation. So that was what really set it apart.
Were there any robots – I mean, as long as you're going to invoke the Jetsons, were there any robots with a that had a distinct New York accent and could make a mean pineapple upside-down cake?
No, I didn't see any of that. One of the things I did see, though, that was really cool is a robot essentially for museums that would have a human being sitting at a desk somewhere, you know, could be miles and miles away, and this robot that would have basically a screen where the docent could be sitting at a desk somewhere and it's navigating the museum and people can interact and ask questions.
Oh, wow.
So it's about keeping those connections.
You've been attending the Consumer Electronics Show for 10 years now. Are there any flash-in-the-pan ideas that you've watched come and go?
I watched when Blu-ray first came up, and a lot of people don't realize at that same time there was Red Ray. And Red Ray and Blu-ray both showed up at CES. They, you know, had this huge space, all of them, you know, and it was just going to be the biggest
thing. What's the difference?
One's a red laser, one's a blue laser.
That's it?
That's the difference. And Blu-ray took off. Although it's been struggling lately, and Red Ray disappeared. I see the same thing starting to happen with 3D television. It's really, really struggling. I don't think it's going to survive. I don't think people really want to watch 3D in their homes. It's just sort of a fad that I think is fading, and I think one of the most famous ones is what's happening right now with Google Glass. You know, the big deal, much to do about nothing, and you looked ridiculous wearing it. You know, you had a handful of people interested in it.
It had to be terribly distracting. I mean, you're trying to walk down the street, but you're reading something on your glasses at the same time.
Although, look at us. I mean, we're walking around with our phones in hand constantly. So, you know, but it just didn't quite catch on. Although Google will keep investing. So
it's surprising that it didn't catch on because one of the things that was talked about recently was studies showing how much anxiety people have when they are away from their phones, that people are getting to the point where if they are not connected, they don't know how to handle it psychologically. And this is not a joke. This is something that people are truly feeling because we are plugged in all the time.
We are plugged in all the time, and we are constantly connected. It's how we stay in touch with our loved ones. It's how we stay connected to our jobs, our profession. It's how we travel. We rely on our phones as extensions of ourselves. You know, we forget those days when we didn't have computers. You know, I don't think there's a kid alive today who will know how to fold a map and the frustration that comes with that, because they have, you know, Google Maps, MapQuest, so many different options.
Electronics such as TVs, computers, cell phone radio, and they're so ingrained in our daily lives, we take them for granted. What technologies do you see having a similar impact in the future? I mean, is there anything left? This kind of goes back to the question I was asking earlier. You know, is there anything left to invent?
You know, there's the trend has been to do two things. You go larger. Mm-hmm. And you go smaller. So for a long time, we were seeing cell phones try and get smaller and smaller and smaller. Now they're getting larger and larger and larger. Those are the trends we tend to see as far as innovation.
And that's because there are more people want bigger and better that way?
It's this idea of bigger and better, and it sort of goes in a cycle. But I think that's, you know, as far as cell phones go, there's not much else you can do. There's so many bells and whistles that come and go. You know, my phone has a pulse reader on it that I've never used. It has a fingerprint reader I've never used. There's so many things. So I think they're piling on, and they're starting to realize, you know, we're just piling on for the sake of piling on. So I don't think there's a lot that we're going to see in that direction as far as our communication. I think I do think smartwatches, I think we're going to see more and more of that as we come closer and closer to making Dick Tracy a reality.
And we can – are we getting to the point where we can, you know, have a conversation and look at somebody's face while we're having it? That's the Dick Tracy reality.
Yeah. We are very, very close to that. You can stream video to your wristwatches. It's only a matter of time before there's cameras installed on them that actually stream video. So it's coming.
And as an artist, Joe, I imagine that you view some of this with a unique perspective. How do you see technology impacting the arts?
You know, I think it's going to have a very profound impact, and already has. You know, I was one of those people who, you know, was strictly paper and pen and absolutely refused to ever embrace a computer. And then I just recently got a Wacom tablet that is Wacom tablets hook up to your computer, and you can work in Photoshop. But you actually have that texture and touch of a pen. So you can actually feel a pen drawing and see it right on the screen. Well, they just came out with a new one called Cintiq that is a hybrid. So you can take it with you, or you can have it hooked up to your computer. So it's like taking a sketchpad with you. And it's been transformative because there are tools I have been unable to use. I'm left-handed. When I use a fountain pen, I smear all over the place. I'm not as adept at painting. Well, having access to those tools in, you know, a computer, it's amazing. It really does transform what you're able to do. I think that in turn is going to have a very profound impact on museums, that there won't be a lot of art. There will be actual physical art that you touch. A lot of it is generated on computers. We're going to see a lot more prints. Being produced.
So we'll walk into a museum, and instead of paintings on the wall, it'll be flat screens displaying images?
I don't think we're going to walk into museums. I start to see that trend already. How many museums are putting their entire collection online digitally? And people, the experience, you know, people say, oh, well, you'll miss the experience of being in a museum. No, you won't. Kids today, you know, you're used to looking at everything on your phone. So you're used to a screen. And I can zoom in on a work of art on a computer that if I were at the museum, I'd be getting told, get away, don't touch. Hmm. So I think we're seeing a trend that museums are actually starting to make themselves irrelevant through their use of technology.
By the way, what does the smartwatch go for these days?
You know, they're coming down lower and lower. You can get a really decent one, one of the Samsung ones, for around $150 to $200, but that's going to continue to drop.
Joe Woese is our culture contributor, just back from the International Consumer Electronics Show held in Las Vegas. Joe, thanks for the knowledge.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, business contributor Rebecca Harris on Pittsburgh's part in the Resilient Cities Challenge. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.